Ruth chapter 2. We'll finish up this chapter, 21, 22, and 23. Let's begin reading in verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house on this Wednesday night. We pray, Lord, for our children's ministry, Lord. I pray that you'll bless all of the leaders, the teachers, and those children. I pray that they're hearing the Word of God. I pray they'll be receptive to hearing the Word of God and the lessons that they're taught. Blessing here tonight, God, help us, Lord. May you have your will and way. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. As a Christian, there is nothing more important in the Christian life than being in the will of God. And that's just very, very important. Christian life, we need to understand the will of God and undertake the will of God. Here's a few things I've wrote down. Finding the will of God and following the will of God is an essential, expedient, and exciting part of being saved. The great writer George W. Truett said this, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find God's will is the greatest discovery, and to do God's will is the greatest achievement." Finding, following God's will is of the utmost importance to a child of God. We need to be busy about the Father's business. There was Miriam Booth, who was the daughter of William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, very successful person. She fell ill with a disease, almost to the point of death. A friend of hers came to her and said it seemed a pity that a woman of her capabilities should be hindered by sickness from doing the Lord's work. She replied, "It's wonderful to do the Lord's work, but it's greater still to do the Lord's will." The will of God is something that you and I should find, follow, do what he tells us to do. The will of God is of the utmost importance. And as we look tonight, we're going to see that the great missionary, and I have a book about this guy's life, David Livingstone. He said, "I would rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England out of the will of God." My pastor used to always tell me, he said, "Go where God tells you and he'll take care of you." Now, you've heard me talk about our time down in North Georgia at one church, and I knew I was in God's will. I was in God's will. I was where God wanted me to be. I was where God wanted our family to be. It was a rough experience. I'm not going to say that being in God's will is going to be lollipops and roses. Being in God's will, it will eventually show that you're in the right place. I look back at that time and yeah, it was hard, it was tough, but I look back at the friends that our boys have made, and I know that God has that blessed that time. But listen, without hesitation, if every Christian, listen to this, was submitted to God's will, we would have revival. The whole tragedy of the church is that Christian men and women, born again, redeemed of the blood, and dwelt by the Spirit, still raise their big eye and refuse to bend before the Lord and his will. Here in our text, we finish chapter 2, and we begin, as I've said many times, this is a story, a love story, but it's a story of a relationship between Ruth and Boaz. It's a story between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at tonight as we just look at the phrase in verse 22. Notice again, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." Staying in this field. Disclosed place of service is number one. Disclosed place of service. In verse 21, we've already read that. It said, thou shalt keep fast by my young men when they have ended all my harvest. In chapter 2 and verse 8 on up there, it says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hear now, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. First of all, I want to look at the understanding of the will of God. Ruth declared to Naomi, he said unto me, Boaz made the desires that he wanted for Ruth known. He had spoken to her the will, stay in my field. Now remember, she just, I want to say, got off the wagon or walked up to it or whatever, and she just started in this field. She had no idea that this was going to change her life. And as we see, as we go through the end of the book, and I'll go ahead and tell you, read the rest of the book, it's amazing how God took this little lady that was at the point of just done to what God did in her life. And we'll see that as we go along over the next few weeks. But an understanding of the will of God. There's two major reasons why people do not know the will of God. Number one, and you'll like this one, failure to do what's already known to be the will of God. Preacher, I just, God's not working in my life. I've had conversations throughout the years. I'm not growing in the Lord. And it could be you. Let me recap here. I told this guy this. You hadn't been at church in 3 months. So that probably tells me, now I was a younger preacher, a little bit more bold and a little bit kind of a smart aleck. I said, you hadn't been in church in 3 months. That begs to say you're not reading your Bible. And you're probably not praying. No, I'm not doing any of that. I said, well, before you come at me, why don't you take care of your business? You know what? They came back. They started serving God. God got their attention. We fail to do what God has already told us to do. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, is it your will for me to read my Bible? That's not a good prayer. Sue, it should be, Lord, today I'm going to read your Bible. Is it your will for me to pray? The Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says pray all the time. So that's an excuse. Or Sunday morning, or Saturday night maybe. Lord, is it your will for me to go to church? Really? Y'all with me tonight? I mean, I know I'm speaking to the choir here Wednesday night. But those are things that we should just know to do. Those are things that we should just know to do. Those things are in the Word of God. But Jesus answered in John 7, 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be good or whether I speak of it myself. The key to knowing what you don't know is doing what you know to be the will of God. I read this. I can't take credit for this, but this is pretty clever. This is a fictional letter. I want to read of Paul writing to the call from Macedonia that you see in the book of Acts when they wanted him to come over. Listen to this letter and you'll understand what I'm saying. It says, dear sir and brother, doubtless you will recall the invitation you extended to me to come over into Macedonia and help the people of that section. You will pardon me for saying that I'm somewhat surprised that you should expect a man of my standing in the church seriously to consider a call on such a meager information. There are a number of things I should like to learn about before giving my decision and would appreciate you dropping me a line addressing me at Troas. First of all, I should like to know if Macedonia is a circuit or a station. There's another item that was overlooked in your brief and somewhat sudden invitation. No mention of what salary I would receive. I've been through a long and expensive course and training. In fact, I may state with reasonable pride that I'm a Sanhedrin man, the only one in the ministry today. Kindly get the good Macedonian brethren together to see what you can do in way of support. For recommendations, you can write Reverend Simon Peter in Jerusalem. I will say that I'm first class and extremely strong in argumentative preaching. If I accept the call, I must stipulate for 2 months vacation and the privilege of taking an occasional lecture tour over the wall in a basket and worth in any man's money. Sincerely yours, Paul. Now, this is just an imaginary letter, but I'm reminded of so many times when I was not pastoring, I'd get a call from the church. Preacher, can you come preach? Yeah. Where are you? Etowah. Okay, where is Etowah? Where Bowater is? Yeah. We're 30 minutes outside of Bowater. So from my house, that's about an hour and a half. We went up there several times. Did I question? No. They needed somebody to come preach to them. And I went up there and preached. They wanted me to come pastor. And I told them, I said, I'll pray about it. Well, you live so far. I said, look, if I put that in what in the way, then I'm not doing God's will. If it's God's will for me to be in Etowah, then we'll be in Etowah. So many preachers aren't like that. Right. Well, preacher, before I come, what are you going to pay me? That's what the letter was about. But as a Christian, we always think, and some Christians think, it's just the preacher that has to follow God's will. Oh, no, it's everybody. Right. It's everybody. Everybody has to follow, should follow God's will. God's will is there for a purpose. Did I even know this church existed? Yeah, I'd been by it. Didn't know anybody here. My number came up. Here we are later. God has a will for our lives. Y'all had to follow it as a church. And I had to follow it as a pastor. It's both ways. There's a church to this day that I still think I should have been at in 2000. When I went, they had 200 people. They took somebody else. He took them for $150,000. When I went back 2 years later, there was 48 people there. Find what God's will is and follow it. Obey His will. We see an undertaking of God's will. In verse 23, we've already read that. Ruth understanding and undertaking what Boaz wanted. He told her, he said, this is what I want you to do. And she submitted. There's a compliance here. You see, the will of God is not some big theological course we have to take. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God. There may be things that you're not qualified to do. There may be things that you're not called to do. There may be things that God has not given you the gift to do. But everybody can follow God's will. Everybody can do what God wants them to do. We see, secondly, a delightful place of service. In verse 22, again, Naomi said unto Ruth, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. What Boaz had asked of Ruth was not a burden, but a blessing. What he had told her was not something to discourage her, but to delight her and Naomi. Remember 2 weeks ago when she went home with all the barley? When God puts you in His will and you follow it, He's going to bless you. She could have went to another field, and she might not have got the service that she got in this one. She could have went to another field, and they may not have dropped the handfuls on purpose. They may not have let her drink water out of the water cooler. But all these things happened because she followed God's will. A delightful place of service. Naomi said, it is good. What Boaz wanted to do was good. Listen to me. Church, God has no ill will for you. He doesn't want you to do something bad. He doesn't want you to go to a bad place. He doesn't want you to do bad things. He wants you to do His will, and His will is always best, but He has your best intentions and my best intentions and mine. We believe that because I do. God's not going to... I remember one time, I think it was Brother David, he gave this illustration. He said, God's not going to put you at home plate with a tennis racket. I thought, okay, you know, you're right. He's not. If you go to home plate with a tennis racket and you swing at a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, that's not going to end well for you. But he's going to supply you what you need. If you're supposed to be at home plate, he's going to give you a bat. If you're supposed to be out in the field, he's going to give you a glove. He's going to equip you. Every single day, he equips us for what we're doing, Michael. You're brand new, man. Less than a month. You're brand new. Devil's been on your back ever since you got saved. I know he has. I know he has. But here you are, still standing. Well, right now you're sitting, but still, you're standing. You made it tonight. You made him mad. You made him mad, but you know what? So what? He'll get over it. But you're brand new. It's tough. It's hard. There's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be places. There's going to be things that happen in your life. Follow God's will. We see the resources of the field. The resources of this field were amazing. In this field, she found protection. In this field, in verse 9 of chapter 2, if you remember, it says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do not reap. Go thou after them. Have thou not charged the young men that they should not touch thee?" He went up to the fellas. He said, "Guys, she's off limits." There's nothing worse on a construction site than having a woman boss. And I've had some. It's not me that's the problem. It's everybody else. But I remember one time we had this woman foreman, and the guys were giving her a fit. And the big boss came up and gathered everybody up. And he said, "Guys, she's off limits. She's your boss. She can fire you." Well, he was saying, "Hey, guys, this girl here, this Ruth, she's off limits." There was protection. But not only was there protection, there was provision. In verses 15 and 16, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not." I mentioned this. "Let fall also some handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them." There was protection. There was provision. God is going to protect you. God is going to provide for you. We see not only the resources, but the relationship. Ruth came to Bethlehem. She only knew Naomi. But in the field, she began to make relationships with other people. There were the men in verse 21, the maidens in verse 22, and she became acquainted with these people. We were talking at dinner, me and my little wife, about friends. That word is used very loosely in our society. I have a lot of friends, but how many of them can I really count on when the chips are down? I know a lot of people through work and through years in the ministry, but can I really call them my friend? We all have, my mama used to say, you can count on your hand how many true friends you have in your life. That's pretty accurate. That's five. Boy, that's pushing it to open up a whole hand. That's pushing it. Five. Think in your life, the people that you've met. Think in your life, the people that you've been around. I've been blessed to know a whole lot of people, a whole lot of good people, a whole lot of people that care about us, that we love and they love us. But this Ruth, she made relationships. It's important as Christians to make relationships with the Lord, of course. That's the number one relationship. But the one thing about church is we need to make relationships. We need to make relationships because, as I said Sunday, there are people in this church that have been up and down the road. They've seen it all. They've got the hat, t-shirt, and the bumper sticker. They've been there. They've done that. They know what it's like. Relationships are so important. And she made some relationships. But the most important relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? John Wesley, in his journal, tells of how he visited a dear woman that was ill in bed. She buried seven of her family in 6 months and had just heard that her husband was missing at sea. Wesley asked, "Do you ever fret at any of those things?" She replied with a loving smile on her face, "Oh no, how can I fret at anything which is in the will of God? Let him take all, besides he has given me himself." She said, "And I have learned to love and praise him at every single moment." Can we say that? When the chips are down in our life, when life seems to have thrown us a curveball, can we just say with a smile, "I've learned to praise him at every moment"? It's hard. It's difficult. We all understand that. Number three, a devoted place of service. Boaz not only wanted Ruth in this field, but he also wanted her to stay in the field. In verse 21 again, it says, verse 21, let me read it again. "And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men, and they have ended, and they until they have ended all my harvest." In verse 23 again, it says, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." Verse 22, Naomi said, "Stay in that field." She was told not to go to any other harvest, to any other field. It was very important. You see, service, devoted place of service, it's a continual service. Serving God is not something that we can just turn on and off. Serving God is not just something that we can just say, "No, I don't believe I'm going to do that." Some people do. I know preachers that when they're in their terms with air quotes between churches, they're at the house. No. Anytime we've ever left a church, the very next service, my family was in church. My family was in church because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And then when we get in the church, I would tell her, "Well, I'm just gonna lay back and enjoy myself." About 2 weeks later, I'm into something because I can't sit still, because that's just my nature. That's just who I am. But whether or not you're doing something or not, preachers need to be in church. And their families, and that's one thing that we've always practiced. But serving God doesn't end until he calls you home. We can all do something. I've said it over and over and over again. We can all do something. It's a continual service. It's a completed service. She stayed in the field day by day until the harvest was in and completed. We are to know the will of God, obey the will of God, and do the will of God until our work or his work is done. I thought about this earlier. Just finding God's will for your life. I thought about that row on the back on Sundays, Sister Stevens and her family, and how Reed and I worked together. He was the last guy I worked with before I took Metal Cross. A whole lot of them come. And they're coming and they want to be a part of our church. That's God. That's God. That's just God doing his will. And it took him getting them in church to get us here. You see how that works? That's just God. That's just what he does. And others I can look at through the congregation that are coming, that are here, that are a part of our church. That's just God. But one day, he's going to call Kevin Weaver home, either through the rapture or in a casket. But one way or another, I'm going to be going home to glory. My service will be complete. But until then, I'm going to keep serving. I worked a lot of hours. I mentioned Sunday about Nick. Nick's at Sequoia on the outage. It's been extended. We talk about 3 or 4 times a week. He's working a lot of hours. I know what he's going through. I've been there. But I was on a job when I left our last church. I went to Watts Bar. I worked 6 months of 6-12. 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. But I had a ministry. And I didn't know I had a ministry, Tom. Because I was with a whole bunch of guys that were travelers from all over the country. And some of the local guys, they would call me preacher. And before I knew it, "Hey, come here just a minute. I step outside. Can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? And I saw what God was doing there. You never know what God's going to do with your life. When given the opportunity to serve Him, serve Him. I 2 weeks ago when Amy texted me and said she felt it was God's will to lead a youth group, it thrilled my soul. We have no idea what's going to happen with this youth group. But the step one was somebody had to step up. She stepped up. And I know God's going to do great things with that. When you do God's will, look out. God tells you to do something, and I mean simple stuff like, hey, you need to go over and hug sister so-and-so. Tell her you're praying for her and tell her you love her. You need to call so-and-so, text so-and-so. You have no idea what they're going through at that moment. This morning I texted a whole bunch of preacher friends, a whole bunch. I don't have a lot, but I texted some of the ones, and Johnny, who was here a few months ago, he came right back. He said, I already prayed for you, my brother. That's a friendship. He and I pray for each other. He hadn't forgot me. I hadn't forgot him. Somebody says, or God says to you, call somebody, do it. Please do it. I love to hear when I call some of our little shut-ins in their hoop. When you call Sister Helen, 97 years old and blind, she told me, she said, Preacher, I just can't go like I used to go. I said, no, ma'am. And she said, but so-and-so called me the other day from the church. That just blesses my heart. It's not just a preacher's job. It's all our jobs to call, to text. And there's so many ways now to reach out to people. You need to do that. You need to do that. Complete. Now, as we go through, I want you to read. I'm going to give you some homework. Read chapters 3 and 4. We're going to be in verse 1 and chapter 3 down through 12 or 13. There's some interesting things that take place over the next two chapters. Very interesting, out of our norm here of what we normally see and do. So I'm going to explain all of it, but when you read it, don't get, we're going to explain it, and it'll bless your heart. All right, let me ask you right now where you are. Just bow your heads. Just bow your heads. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful to God's house on this Wednesday night. I know sometimes it's hard for people to get here, and I understand that. I don't know, maybe God is speaking to your heart about something. Something He has in mind for you. And remember, and I'll say it till the Lord calls me home, you're not too old to serve God. There is something for everybody to do. Everybody. Maybe you're just, God's speaking to your heart, He's told you to do something, then I encourage you to do it. Because what's going to happen if you don't do it, they'll miss the blessing and you'll miss the blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and this story. As we get into the next couple chapters, as we begin to look at the kinsmen and all of the things that take place over the next two chapters, God, help us to open our eyes to see what takes place. And I pray that You help us all, Lord, to work on our relationship with You. We need to have a relationship. We need to talk to You every single day, several times a day. Lord, we love You and we thank You. Bless now as we go into our prayer time. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.